Continue with the Word of God from John 21, 1 through 14. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children," in our text, the better Greek term is lads or young men, "do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. You know, throughout the entire Bible, but even more so after the resurrection, they keep seeming to miss Jesus. And we talked about that the last couple of weeks. This is the third time that he showed up. So they've already met him. They already have seen him. They have experienced the resurrection firsthand. They were there with Thomas, sticking his fingers into his palm and his fist into his side. And yet somehow they still don't see Jesus right away. Hello. Do we always see Jesus right away? Do we always see Jesus working in our lives and God directing us? Is it that immediate to us? Not always. And I think the key reason here is kind of unique because what do the disciples do? Jesus told them, "I will meet you in Galilee." So they're sitting around waiting for Jesus. Well, we've been waiting for Jesus too. We've been waiting as a church for 2,000 years, and we're still waiting. We have also been waiting for many years of our entire lives for Jesus to come into our lives, knock us on the back of the head, and say to us, "This is where you're supposed to go and what you're supposed to do." Or we have waited and waited, praying and hoping and desperately begging for something that we thought we needed so desperately from God, and somehow we're still waiting for that as well. And when he does show up, we don't necessarily see him. So what does Peter do? And I love this. Peter is not the leader of the disciples. Peter gets up, as we do, and he says, "Okay, I'm going to go fishing. I know about fishing. I'm bored to death. I'm tired of waiting for Jesus. Let's do something. Well, what do I know what to do? Well, I'm going to go fishing." Now, if he was a professional bowler, he probably would have said, "I'm going bowling." If he's like Paul and I, he'll probably say, "Hey, I'm getting a Harley and we're going for a ride. Woo! We'll ride back to Jerusalem and back today. All right, that's what we're going to do. Road trip. If he was a sailor, we're going to sail there today. If he was a rifleman, he would be out there shooting a rifle. Yeah, let's go shooting. Because that's what I do. That's who I am. That's what I know to do. And that's when I can really relax. I know what I need to do. My wife, when she relaxes, she cooks. She just loves to cook. That's a big thing for her. And so Peter does the same thing. Okay, we're waiting for Jesus. Jesus is not showing up. Notice he doesn't say, let us go fishing. He goes, I've had it. I'm going fishing. Now, as a married man, I've got this cue down. When my wife says to me, I'm doing this, I know that means we are doing this. Or I'm in big trouble if I don't go along. I figured that out early. And so the disciples kind of go, well, you know, yeah, okay. Yeah, sounds good. Okay, well, I'll go with you. And because it's their idea, and motivated by their boredom, their confusion, their fear, their anxiety, their uncertainty, what happens? They catch nothing. How many times do we respond with God in the same way that, God, okay, I'm tired of waiting, so I'm going to do this, and we find out it doesn't work. No fruit comes from it. It's literally fruitless. Empty, just like their boat was. Now, this is a true story, and it comes from America, and it's in the late 1930s. True story, strange, as weird as this is, but it's an absolutely true story. There was a prison break, and three prisoners broke out of prison. It wasn't... If you thought being in prison was bad today, it's even worse way back then. The level of tolerance just didn't exist at all. And if you attempted to escape, the very first response was, you were shot dead. And so the three of them ran for the wall. One of them was shot in the courtyard. Two of them climbed the wall. As they climbed the wall and went over the top, one of the others was shot. So out of the three, one got safely over the wall. But the one who was shot, the other one who wasn't, took him with him, and he helped him, supported him. And they went into the woods. And it was in a state, interestingly enough, that didn't have dogs readily available to them. Otherwise, these guys would have been toast quick. And so they were out in the woods for 2 days. It looked like they were going to make it. But the guy who was shot was seriously wounded. Not only way back then, they did not have urgent care, but you couldn't show up in a hospital anyway, even if you did, if you were... escapee, right? That's the first place they're going to be looking. And what happened was the convict who was shot kept telling the other convict, who was a young man in his early 20s, you need to go back. You need to go back. Look, I'm an old man. My life is over. There's no way that I can redeem myself at this particular point, but you need to go back. You still have a... Look, you only had 6 months to serve. Go back. Yeah, they're going to throw on a couple more years, but you'll still get out young enough where you still have your whole life. You can do something with your life. Don't end up like me, dying in the dirt. Don't end up like me, homeless. Don't end up like me. Go on back. And at the end of the second day, that night... the wounded convict died in the arms of the younger convict. And he buried him under a tree. And guess what? He walked all the way back to the prison. And he shows up on the front gate of the prison. And the guard at the gate couldn't believe it. And they called half of the other guards, including the ones that were off duty, to come out. And they asked him, what are you doing here? Because in the entire history of that state's penal system, no escapee had ever voluntarily returned. Ever. And he said, it's almost like the prodigal son. He said, I've sinned. I've done what was wrong. I deserve to be here. I need to take my punishment. I was wrong for leaving. And so I'm back to make things right. And they couldn't believe it. And normally how police were, back then especially, that would have been a bad situation if they had caught him, right? They actually gave him breakfast. They gently walked him into the prison because they didn't know quite what to do with this guy. They had never, the same way, remember the centurion says of Jesus Christ on Good Friday, truly this is the Son of God? Because he never saw any, no human being could have died like that. He had to be the Son of God. And so the same thing with these guards, they're going, we don't know what to do. This is unique. And they put him back in the cell. The state penal system was so shocked by this, they did not press any charges for his escape. And in 6 months, he got out. Because never in the history of the entire state did anyone ever do this. It was overwhelmingly impressive. What was even more of a shock is when he was telling the guards how he came to the decision to return because of the other convict. And they're looking at him going, what the heck are you talking about? And they took him to the morgue. And there was the body of both convicts. Both. The one that went over the wall with him didn't make it over the wall. He died on the wall. True story. For 2 days, this convict was with him, but he was already lying in the morgue. Jesus says to the disciples, cast your net on the other side. Stop looking on that side. Cast your net on the other side. Professor Nagel, one of the professors at the seminary that I love very much, in the opening of a sermon for the third Sunday of Easter, which we are today, made this comment. He goes, we must stop looking at dying. During the late medieval church in Christianity in the West, we were told to constantly focus on death. Matter of fact, there was a whole order of nuns and monks that would carry around with them human skulls. You know, concentrate on death. That's you. You're dead to the world. You're dead to God because of your sins. Wages of sin is what? Death. And Nagel goes, that's ridiculous. And here's why. Because you don't need anybody to die. If you want to go out into the high desert up here, oh, just wander off into the desert, you're going to die, aren't you? No water, no food, hot summer day in 1920s, right, Mike? You've been there far too many times. Without any resources, what's going to happen to you? You're going to die. You want to go play on the freeway? You want to jump in front of cars and trucks and semis? Chances, you don't need anybody to help you do that. Now, you may be dying and want someone to be with you, but you don't need someone to help you die because you can die all by yourself. And Nagel says, that's not what the gospel is about. The gospel is about being born. It's about being alive. Can you be born all by yourself? Stop and think about that for a minute. You can die by yourself, but you can't be born by yourself because you need a mom. Amen? Can we be born by ourselves of God? We can go to hell by ourselves, amen, but we cannot be born of God unless God gives us that Holy Spirit to be born again, amen? We are regenerated by His grace and His grace alone. We don't choose that. You don't choose, oh, I want to be born today. You're born. And the first thing that happens is you start crying. Why? Because you're separated from your mother. And we cry for the rest of our existence until we're finally united again with God. The disciples were separated from Jesus. And Jesus says, cast your net on the other side. And they did. And it was fruitful. The story I told you is this man goes, no, I need to pay for what I've done. Like the good thief on the cross. I deserve what's happening to me. And he comes back. It was God's grace that gave him life. Both of the other convicts died because they wanted it their way. And they refused to accept their personal accountability and responsibility. He accepted that responsibility because of God's grace came into his life. Nudged him. I think, personally, that was an angel at his side going, hey, you need to, like the conversion of Paul today in our story. That's God's grace. What's interesting is the man became a preacher later. Isn't that interesting all in itself? Interesting. Just like Paul, the story today. And notice the bounty is when they listen to the Lord. They came up empty when they were doing it for themselves. When they were doing it for the Lord, the bounty was there. And here's the part that I love so much. When Peter comes ashore, what does he find? Jesus already has the fish. Jesus has the fish. He has a big loaf of bread cooking on a rock over a flame. It's all there. But notice in your text what Jesus says. Notice what Jesus says. Did you notice? He says, do you have any fish? Why don't you go bring some over here? Did Jesus need those fish? No. Mike, I love to look at. Jesus had it all worked out, right? He's God. He had the fish, he had some bread. But he turns to the disciple and he says, go get some fish. Because Peter was invited into the ministry of Christ. Paul, today, in our story of the conversion, Paul was invited into the ministry of Christ. Today, Brian and Carolyn, in the reading of the Word, was invited into the ministry of Christ. And that invitation is, cast your net on the right side. Cast your net on the right side. Today, you came here because you were called by the Holy Spirit. You were invited into the ministry of Christ. Christ is asking you, do you have any fish? Have you caught anything by my grace? Have you caught faith? Have you caught hope? Have you caught joy? Are you alive? Then bring your life forward and share it with the risen Lord, who is our Lord, God, and Savior. Amen. Amen.